morning. Okay, how about now? Let's start all over. Good morning, my name is Dwayne. That's my fault. I didn't hit the button, so there we go. Can you hear me now? Did you hear anything I had to say? I said I love your pastor, okay? And I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for him and his influence in my life. And God brings people in our life to get us to our destiny. How many know there's more? Pastor said, how many want to make some changes? How many want to be not, you know, I don't want to be here in 30 days or next year. I want to progress in the kingdom. And God brings people in our lives to do that, but it's how we view those people that come into our lives and that are in our lives has a lot to do with what we receive from them. Come on. You have amazing pastors in this house. Amazing pastors in this house. Their sacrifice is constant and without complaint. They are giving their lives to the work of God, to this house, this community, and that means you. But how many know how we see them and how we view them has everything to do with what we receive from them? Are you there? And the longer we're in relationship with someone, how many know the human nature is to often maybe not see some of the things we used to see? So some of us men in the house, if we would just take a fresh look at our wives, and all the women said, come on, amen. I mean, how many know if we're not careful, we can begin to take for granted something that is precious, and we can miss some things in the journey. So the longer you've been in the house, the more maybe you just need some fresh eyes to see Pastor Kelly and Pastor Kari for who they are, come on, and the rest of the pastoral staff here, and we begin to recognize them. And I'm not going to camp here, but I want to say this to us. In Ephesians 4, we understand fivefold ministry was given by Jesus to the church. And I love how it says it in the New King James. It says, he himself being Jesus, he himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to us. So the gift came from Jesus himself to us. How many know we treat a gift precious when we know who it's from? How many have some stuff at home? It's maybe on your refrigerator. It was drawn by your children or your grandchildren. It is not a priceless work of art. You could not get a nickel out of it in a garage sale, and Goodwill would probably reject it, or the thrift store, okay? But you wouldn't get rid of it for anything because of who it was from. Are you with me? I've got some of that too, and I think it's just great, you know? Before they could even write, they just scribble with a crayon, and it's like, oh, are you with me? It's like, wow, because we know who it's from. When we're in love with Jesus, and we recognize pastors are a gift from him, it is easy to honor, respect, and follow and capture the heart of that leader, because that leader came from Jesus as a gift to me. Come on. Now, one other thing I want to bring a heavy revy to you. Pastor Kelly and Kari are both flawed. They have flaws. And they have flaws because they're human, and so you can attend. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he is really talking to you because I know you're flawed. Okay, are you with me? See, we're all a mess. Okay, we're just all a mess sometimes. But if we're not careful through the years, we get filters that cause us to miss what... Am I making sense to someone today? Okay, we develop a track record after a while, and we have a filter, and we see a flaw, or we see an error, or we see something that's not absolutely perfect, you know? Pastor Kelly is in love with Fords. Come on, and all the Chevy men said, God bless him and open his eyes. You know, come on, are you there? And so it's really easy to be divided rather than recognizing the gift of God and receiving with freshness what God is saying through your leader. And I say that, and I just really am sensing something. And is Kelsey still in the room? She's in the nursery. Okay, they have speakers in the nursery, so I can talk about her. Okay, I got to be careful what I say about Kelsey if she's got it on, the speaker on, okay? But I'm just sitting there listening to her. And I am celebrating a breakthrough just listening to her. How many felt that? Yeah, it's the body of Christ. I can stand upright. I'm just like, oh, I'm so proud of her. I've watched that young lady. Anytime I'm around Kelsey, she strengthens and refreshes me. Come on, amen? And it's just a joy. It's a joy to be a part of her life. There's a real prophetic gifting on her. And so maybe just a little side note, don't look at her and say, that's the pastor's daughter, and miss the prophetic word God may speak through her to you. Is that all right? That wasn't a rebuke. That's just we got to keep our eyes open to, okay, what, God, what are you doing? Because there is a prophetic gifting on her that is going, especially this year, going to continue to ramp up and become more intricate, more accurate, and more detailed. God is going to use her for significant breakthroughs in people's lives this year as she ministers in this house. I'm telling you that by the Spirit of God. It's there. I see it. I saw the mantle settle upon her today. And the speaker is not on in the nursery because she's not hearing a word of this, I don't think. So, is it being recorded? Okay, so we're good there. She'll get the CD, so she'll get to hear that. And I believe that. One thing that we're going to be passing out tonight, but I just want to let you know that I have them in my hand before I get started too much further here. And talking about pastors, and how many know pastors are the head of the flock under Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. Pastor is the head of the flock, okay, unequivocally head of the flock. And how many know that the enemy likes to attack the head more than any other thing? So if you think about what you've been through, pastor said, have you been through some battles? Take your battles times 10, and sometimes you'll get an idea of what your pastors walk through. Oh, you didn't get excited about that, did you? Okay. Are you minimizing my battle? No, I'm not at all. I'm just saying there is a scriptural principle, and God has put on my heart to stir the congregations across the Northwest to begin to lift up their pastors in prayer. And I'm not saying you don't, but there's key things the Lord put on my heart. I have this little prayer card that I would be glad to give you one. If you would say to me, not to close the service, come see me, and you would say, I want to pray daily, and this is how I want to pray for my pastor this year. I am asking our congregations to pray for favor on our pastor's life. How many know that they are in alignment and they can find favor with God? We're standing in the building, come on, that is an indication of favor from God. When I hear reports on the thrift store, I understand that is the favor of God. Not to minimize the work of the people, but God has opened an effectual door. Number two, finances. How many know, how do you spell vision? M-O-N-E-Y. Okay? And when the finances are flowing, the leader can continue to lead. So we're praying for finances to flourish in the house. Number three, we're praying that souls come into the kingdom of God. How many know there are some seats alongside you that aren't full yet, and there's some people you know that need to be in those seats? and we want to see a harvest in the city where our pastors are leading. You with me? And number four, strategy. Without a vision and a dream's great, but without a strategy, it doesn't get fulfilled. That God will give them strategies to fulfill the vision that's in their heart. So very simply, this is something I'll be handing out all across the district, but I have the opportunity to stand before the Life Center today and say, your pastors need prayer support more than ever before, because this is going to be a banner year for the Life Center. Come on, amen? I'm telling you that. I could get up. I don't know. In the classic way I was raised, I was supposed to stop right there and say, thus saith the Lord. Because I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, that's going to happen. And I guess one question, and we're going to go into Chronicles chapter 14. So if you would like to go there with me today, I want to go to that word. What's up with fasting, a potluck in the middle of fasting? I just... Come on, amen? Amen. How many are really seeking God for a breakthrough? Mine this year? Mine is Psalms chapter 92, verse 10. That's the cry of my heart for this year. And he says, and it's for me, for me. They said, he anoints your head with fresh oil. And the cry of my heart this year is fresh oil. Fresh oil, God. Not yesterday's oil, fresh oil. The fresh anointing that comes today, that's what I'm looking for in my life this year. And I'm believing God for it, and I'm laying aside meals for it. How many know fasting is a good thing to do? Just none of us like to do it on an empty stomach. You know what I'm talking about? And my son-in-law invented a new fast. You know, Daniel's has a 21-day fast. My son-in-law a few years ago invented the 15-minute fast. And anybody on board for that one? You know, maybe you can join me in a fast while we're in church today, okay? So anyway, let's go to the Word. I don't want to talk to you today. I just want to share my heart with you. I try not to keep you long. There's a young man that was in the youth class with me this morning that was going to put the Seahawk Falcons score on the corner of the screen. I'm kidding, okay? Especially after we heard it was 10-0, okay? All right. How many want to break through? You got something you want to break through in? How many know we were meant to break through?
We were.
How many know we were meant to win?
Yeah.
How many felt a little bit discouraged when we heard Falcons 10, Seahawks 0? Okay, unless you're a Falcons fan, in that case, we'll dismiss you at the moment. But the reality is, we were designed to win. There is something about winning that drives the human spirit, right? I heard before, second place is just the first loser. You ever heard that before? And so it's like, you know, how many know we strive to win and we want to win? And winning, breaking through, gives us amazing energy. I was watching one particular play last week with Seattle in the game. And Marshawn Lynch looked like he was not going to make any yardage at all. And he kept the legs, he kept those pistons pumping. And all of a sudden, he saw just this opening in the line, and he just made a quick move. And when he come out of there, it was like rockets were attached to his feet. I mean, he came out of there, and you just see this launch of energy in him as he broke through the line, and it was a phenomenal, I think it's one of the largest gains in that particular game of yardage. But you can see that when they come through that line, when they break through, there is an amazing surge of energy. How many know it feels good to break through? You know, I mean, go all the way back to being kids, Red Rover. How many know it felt good to break through? Come on, because if you didn't break through, you got captured, and you'd give it everything you got, you know, especially if you were the little guy or the little girl, and you're running with everything you got, and there's somebody bigger on the other line, and you break through that line, and it's like, man, I am king of the mountain. Look at me, my bad self. You know what I'm talking about? It just feels good because I broke through and got to the other side. Why does it feel good? Because God has called us to break through. We look through the Word, and the Word says that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? We understand that he made us not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. Amen? That we are to overcome every work of the enemy against us. That's how God has made us, and God has equipped us to do it. But how many know, can I pause for a moment and say, it's not always that the church individually lives in breakthrough. Come on. How many know at times we have not been where we needed to be? And we've let circumstances, we've let stuff, we've let people, we've let relationships, and we've let things subdue us, and we weren't living in the freedom of the breakthrough that God had called us to. Are we all there? Come on. Is everybody there? Okay, we've all been there, so let's settle in that. At times we don't do it, but when we do, and there's principles to the breakthrough I want to talk about today out of Chronicles chapter 14. The word breakthrough literally means this: an offensive thrust that penetrates and carries beyond the defensive line in warfare. How many know we should be gaining ground? It's an offensive thrust. It's not a hold the line. Come on. It's not a hold the fort. How many know it didn't work for Custer, okay? And it's not going to work for the church. It's just hold the line. No, it's an offensive thrust. The Bible tells me the gates of hell will not overcome me. Those gates are not offensive. They're defensive because we are offensive. How many know God's called us to gain ground? Let's look at this. Let's look at this with David. I just want to read through that chapter. I think it's a total of 17 verses. Can we handle 17 verses this morning? Okay. I usually don't like to read long portions, but this one just really speaks to a story. Now, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew. Now, I want you to really pick up something in verse number 2. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. How many know when you know something, it's important? How many know, do you know that you are loved by God? How many know you are loved by God, things change? When you know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not talking about an ascent mentally, but I know in my spirit that if I drew my last breath today, I have eternity waiting for me on the other side with Jesus. Amen. There is total hope, total peace, total confidence. Now, God's not through with me. Come on. But if he was, I know what's on the other side. David makes, there's a statement here about knowing that God set him where he was, okay? And it goes on, jump through. David took a bunch of wives, okay, and all their names are there. And now verse number 8. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, and all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went out against them, then the Philistines went and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they went up to Baal Perazim, which literally means the Lord of the breakthrough, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water." Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. I kind of like the way that word pronounces, praise him. Come on, amen? Baal, praise him. Praise God, all right? And when they left their gods there, David gave a command, and they burned all of the Philistines' gods with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God and said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." So David did as God commanded, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him among all the nations. And so we take a look at a picture here in Chronicles chapter 14, and I want to give you simply today a couple of points. Number one is I want us to take a look at position. I want to take a look at three things here, okay? And number one was position. How many know your position has a lot to do with whether you succeed? Come on, understand what I'm saying. I remember playing high school. I remember playing football in high school, and wasn't fast enough to be in the backfield, so I'm on the front line, all right? And one of the first things we were taught when we come off that line at the snap of the ball was to stay low, keep the legs moving, whether you're making progress or not, because if they get you stood up, you're going over. And so we stayed low. How many? The position had everything to do with whether I could function and whether I was able to do what I was supposed to do on the line so we could win the game. Are you with me? All right? And so I want to talk a little bit about what was going on with David in position in three simple things. He knew that he was called. Are you with me? And we're talking about breakthrough. He knew that he was called. Okay? And so his position was one of immediately. David immediately. Now get it. The Philistines heard he's set up as king, and the Philistines went looking for him. You know, I see people in the church, if they even think the devil's looking for him, they want to hide in the closet. Come on. Now, have you ever heard people say, oh man, the devil's been after me all week? Face him. Don't run from him. You've got Jesus. And I have a witness in the house. I mean, his teeth were pulled at Calvary, you know? And yet we find with wrong thinking, we're running from something we should be running to. Is everybody doing okay with that? You see, you can't have a breakthrough if you're running from what you should be facing. I'm praying for a breakthrough. Going the wrong way, sister. Going the wrong way, brother. Come on. Now, how many have ran from things we needed to face? How many know sometimes it's the phone call you know you need to make, and it gets quiet in the house. It's the person that you know you need to lovingly confront or correct or what, fill in the blank. It's something you know you need to do. I was thinking about that. We just moved into our house after 2.5 years in an apartment. And unpacking stuff, some of the things that haven't been unpacked in 2.5 years. So people say, hey, y'all moved in and all settled. Well, those are two different things. How many know those are two different things? Moved in and settled are two different things. And so we're moved in. I said, we can close the garage doors. You know, it's a double car garage. We only get one car in there right now. So how many know we're not settled? And it was kind of hard to leave yesterday when we pulled out because one whole side of the garage, I'm sure none of yours are like this. Okay, but there's boxes and there's stuff and it's not organized. And how many know it'll still be like that next year if I don't face it? Yeah. Yeah. So you're never going to fix it if you don't face it. And the first thing David did is squared off with the enemy. That's confidence. Now I want you to see something here. When we don't know who we are, we won't face what we need to face. Do you know who you are in Jesus? I'm not talking about your family lineage. Your mom and dad might have put you up for adoption when you were 3. Your dad might have left. You might have issues of abandonment. You might have been through issues of abuse. You might sit down and write a letter to me and make me want to feel sorry for you for a year. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about who you are in Jesus because you have been saved out of darkness. You've been saved out of a mess, and he has brought you into light in him. When you know who you are in him, now know that when we come to Christ, my identity is no longer natural. I take on a supernatural identity, and I'm a child of the king. Amen? David knew he was supposed to be king. I know I am the son of the living God. And when I step into a battle, I know who's going to go with me, so I face it with courage. Do I have a witness in the house? All right? All right. He faced the battle because of confidence and courage. When God was preparing Joshua to go into the promised land, I think it's verse number 6 in Joshua 1, verse number 9, and in the close of the chapter, 3 times in one chapter, you hear these words, be strong and of good courage, be strong and of good courage, be strong and of good courage. The first 2 times it came from God into Joshua, and the last time it came from the people to Joshua. Because what Joshua had to do required an inner strength, a fortitude, and a courage to break through. Are you with me? Okay. Number 2, when it comes to position, David immediately sought the Lord. Come on. Now, how many know we all pray when things go bad? In fact, in my years, you know, someone said years ago, there are no atheists in foxholes. Even an atheist cries, oh my God, when he hits his finger with his hammer. You know what I'm talking about? You know, so the reality is we know how to cry when things get rough. In fact, in the years of pastoring in Raymond that we pastored, it took me a long time, but I found out where Jesus was. And it took me a long time, but I figured out Jesus was down at the county jail because everybody that went there found him. I can't tell you how many times I got to call, Pastor, you know. And I can't tell you how many times the cry for pastor was over and done once the latch to the key opened and they're no longer incarcerated. Some people live for Jesus better behind bars. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, not over here. I'm talking about Washington. Okay? But I'm talking about learning how to seek God when we step into the situation. A courage and a confidence doesn't mean an arrogance and a pride that I'm going to go win. When you read through there, it says that he won. Who fought the battle? David fought the battle. Who did he give the glory and the victory for? God. God caused the breakthrough through his effort. Is everybody with me? So it's not an arrogance that says, I'm going to go breakthrough. It's, I'm going to face the battle. God. Come on. Sometimes we're saying, God. And if we could just hear, he's saying, face the battle. God, they're coming. You know, God, help me. No, face the battle. See, because whatever you're not facing, you're going to serve. And then whatever you're serving and you don't break through, you not only live in bondage in your life, but you strap the next generation with it. See, whatever I don't break, I leave as an inheritance. It's getting really, really quiet in here. How many know that settles a responsibility in our hearts that says, I've got to break through? So number one, he faced a battle. That was his position of courage. Number two, he sought God, and I love this. Folks, this is a condition of humility. This is a place of brokenness. This is a place that says, I'm going to do this, but God, I need some answers here. I need some help. Do you know what I'm saying? You can walk through anything if you're on your knees in prayer. That's why I think the time of 21 days of fasting and prayer you're doing is amazing. Pastor wrote in his blog just this last week, that he said, fasting and prayer is not strong-arming God to get an answer, but it's positioning ourselves to hear from the Lord. How many know? Come on. How many know we need to dethrone King's stomach and let the stomach know, no, you're not in charge here. I'm bringing myself into alignment with God. Are you there? And that time of prayer, he said, God, should I go? Now get it. God, should I go? And God, will I win? Are you there? And God says, go, and you're going to win. Now he goes in, and this is where we find the term Baal Perazim, Lord of the breakthrough. God broke through, but it was because he faced the battle and sought God. Sometimes we don't have victories because we're not facing a battle or because we're not seeking the Lord in the battle. Everybody still okay? Yep, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Okay, let's look at this. And then you're still waiting for that Seahawks score, aren't you? Okay, number three, David simply obeyed what the Lord spoke to him. And this very, very clearly speaks of a reverence to God. Is everybody with me? It's this reverent fear of God. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, the Lord speaks through Moses to the people, and he says, do not fear. And then he goes on, but God has come to test you or to prove you that his fear may be before your face. How many know there's a difference between fearing what man can do? There's a difference between fearing what circumstances are saying. There's a difference between fearing what your employer just said to you or what's going on around you, okay, in the natural, and fearing God in the realm of the spirit so that we walk in obedience. Everybody there? Okay, and part of the message that kind of ties into here is instead of running from fear, we let fear drive us. Come on. David obeyed what God asked him to do. Now, I want to tie something in here. As we go through the chapter, he went against the Philistines the second time, and he didn't let a previous victory lift him up to where he didn't seek the Lord for the present situation. What do you mean by that? Let me just read you a scripture. I don't think I have it on the screen, but let me share this with you. In Joshua chapter 9, how many know Joshua won a great victory at Jericho? We love to talk about Jericho, right? He did something absolutely contrary to what human nature should. Lay down our weapons. Come on, what are we going to do? Trumpets? I don't even know how to play a trumpet. Are you with me? And we're going to march around the building? What good's that going to do? Okay, but the reality is, through obedience, they won a great victory. They went on to subdue the promised land. But in Joshua chapter 9, it says this. Then the men of Israel took some of their, I forget the name of the particular group of people in a local city. Basically what they had done is they had acted like they came from a long ways away so that they could make a pact or covenant with Israel, because God had said, annihilate and destroy every city. This land belongs to you. And these guys pulled one over on Joshua because they took their wine flasks and they made them look like they were old. They put old stale bread in their bags, and man, they were just, you know, I'm sure they took the clothes they hadn't washed for weeks, you know. And they ride into the city and they say to Joshua and the men, we have come from afar. We've come from a long ways off, and we just want to make peace with you. We heard how God is using you. And Joshua and the men actually say, how do we know that you didn't come from close by? And it goes on to say this, and this is a message sometimes for us, because we can get a victory and then think that's the way it works when God uses every battle just a little bit different. Try to find a system or a plan for how Jesus healed people in the Bible. Sometimes he didn't even touch them. Just go show yourself to the priest. Huh? Come on. Sometimes, I mean, he spit in the dirt and made mud. Go wash. Come on. Sometimes he laid hands on them. Sometimes somebody touched him. There is no system there, so we learn daily to seek the Lord for our victory. Come on. Are you there? Because your strategy might not be my strategy. And we learn to seek God for the strategy for the victory. But here they didn't do that, and the scripture says this. They did not, they say they... The men of Israel took some of their provisions. They surveyed it naturally. Old wineskins, old clothes, moldy bread. In the natural, it looked one way. But how many know when you seek God, God can sometimes align you in the spirit and cause you to say, cause you to recognize what you're seeing in the natural, you shouldn't put stock in. Come on, somebody. Amen? I mean, all the way around you, it's saying gloom, despair, it's no good. And then you step into the kingdom of God, and God's saying, you're standing at the door of a breakthrough. Just do this. Boom. And how many know that step of obedience will bring you into breakthrough? He goes on and he says this, but they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with this particular group and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So Joshua, because of a lack of seeking God in the battle, moved outside of God's plan for him in the outcome. Sometimes if we win a few battles, how many know it can feel pretty good? Come on. I remember in high school, I was a wrestler. Do I have any friends in the house? Okay. Have a few friends. Okay. It's wrestling. Wrestling is a very unique sport because it's just you and one other guy on the mat, and all eyes are on you, you know. Always had butterflies before that. And I loved to wrestle in high school. And I worked really hard at it. And I remember that I had won a few matches. In fact, I was in a tournament. It was an all-day tournament. And it's quite a few teams, and so we're all wrestling, and then it gets down to the final two, kind of like, you know, we're coming into with the Super Bowl. But the difference was I didn't even know who the other guy was. I hadn't even met this guy. I hadn't saw him because there were so many teams. And then at the very finals, they take away all the other mats, set one mat in the floor in the middle, bring the lights down right over the mat, and they're announcing, for it's the finals, you know, each weight class, and they're running out on the field or running out on the mat and shaking hands. It's the first time I saw the guy. They announced my name and my weight class, which was 158. I'm just a few pounds over that today. And don't laugh, look in the mirror. Okay. But the reality is, and I break out of the shadow, and I run out onto the mat, and I see this guy coming. Dude, the guy had teeth missing. He was bald. He looked like he was mid-30s. He's supposed to look like he's 18. Oh, my living Lord. I am in trouble. Are you there? I lost the match at the handshake. Sometimes that's how we go into battle. If we are seeing something in the natural, come somebody, I'm done. I literally went out on that mat to survive. God, I hope, at least he can't bite me. Okay, are you with me? You know, it's like, am I going to make it? And it's just like, wow. And you know, and I lost it 3, 4, 5 points, and I walked off the mat just, how many know we're made to break through? I didn't break through. I did not win. And I walked off the mat realizing I could have beat that guy. But I lost it here. How many times, most of the time, we lose it right here? In fact, my coach told me through high school, 80% of it's here, Dwayne. 80% of it's here. I didn't figure that out until I was about 30. You with me? So lo and behold, go on through the season of wrestling, get into regionals, and get to state. Guess who I end up with? Same guy. We get through the winner's bracket, get through another winner's bracket, and I said, oh my Lord, no, it can't be. Sure enough, looked across the mat, and there that sucker was. Oh my, you know? But you know what? It was different now. Something happened in here. I knew. You see, if you're ever going to break through, it starts here. I know. See, when David squared up, he didn't square up with some squirminess. He didn't square up with, oh, my Lord, God, what am I going to do? I heard the Philistines are coming. Bring them. You know, it's time we just called the devil out. Quit running from a toothless lion. I mean, are you with me? We quit cowering away from the situation, and we face it because we know who we are in God. Do you know who you are in God? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And you know what? I faced him. And I'll tell the story the way it is and the way you want to hear it. I kicked that sucker's butt, all right? I took him out. Woo-hoo. I took him out. Come on. Some of you are having victory with me. You know, he's like, he's going down, you know? Because I knew something happened on the inside that said I can win. I can do that. And so we learn to have that confidence and we learn to seek the Lord. If we're winning battles, we learn to seek God and not be arrogant because of the battles that were behind us. I learned the position of, come on, courage, I'm going to face the enemy, humility, I'm going to seek the Lord, reverence and fear, I'm going to obey what God is saying to me. That threefold cord will give you breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in your life. And even when breakthroughs aren't coming immediately, you can live in victory through the storms of life and come out on the other side better. Still doing all right? Okay. Number two, perseverance. Verse number 16 says this. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. Now, sometimes we don't just keep showing up, and the breakthrough we want doesn't happen because we don't push on through. Sometimes we're just one step away from victory. There's a poem I used to carry a lot, and it was entitled, Don't Give Up. And, you know, sometimes some of the deepest battles of my life at that time, which I thought were pretty deep at the time, I would just go back and read that. And I can remember just parts of it, so I won't even try to quote it, but it gave such inspiration to me. As things go wrong, as they sometimes will, as the road you're trudging seems all uphill, and it goes on to say, rest a moment if you need to, but don't give up. And then it goes on to say, why not? And I wonder sometimes if we had an eternal perspective, if we could really see how many people gave up or gave in one step away from the breakthrough they had sought and cried out for years and years and years and years. And can I tell you, I've been there too. I've given up one step too early. We are all there. We're human on the best day. But the reality is, when we learn to keep on keeping on. Sometimes I just keep showing up. Well, I don't feel like going to church. Did you know that's the most important day to be there? Well, I made a resolution that I'm going to attend church, serve at the church, and tithe to the local church for 2013. But then, you know, I went through 2 months of hell. You missed the lifeline that was going to pull you through. Come on, are you with me? Well, you know, it's not those that begin in a race, but those that complete the race that win the prize. Come on, it's usually not the big things in life. It's the subtle continuances that you keep going. Come on, are you with me? My wife will tell you, my wife knows what perseverance is because she's been with me 31 years. And she told me last week she likes me. I mean, come on, how many know that's perseverance? How many know that's getting through? That's the commitment, okay? And the picture here, from Gibeon to Gezer, 18 miles. Now, I'm not talking about getting in your car and driving 18 miles. We're not talking about horseback. We're not talking about horse and buggy. We're talking about a battle that spanned 18 miles. You know, David said, no, we're not just going to run you off. See, they learned from the previous battle. No, we're going to keep after you, and we're going to keep after you till you have been run out of the country. Sometimes you just got to keep showing up. Sometimes you just got to keep doing it. And in that picture, then perseverance is built in us, and perseverance will win. Pastor said it this way, God make us harder than any hardness, how was the wording? Any hardness that's coming against us. Make us harder than our circumstances. How many know that's perseverance? Come on, that's perseverance. I'm a winner on the inside. See, James said, and we'll bring this in, he said, count it all joy when you go into trials. Because trials have a way of producing perseverance. I have yet to hear a testimony in a church where someone said, Pastor, I just want to thank God for the hell I've been going through. It's just been such a joy to go through hell for Jesus. Usually what we do is we get up and we say, I thank God the trial is over. I was in the darkness, but I'm in the light. But sometimes we fail to recognize what's happening in the storm. See, what God's doing in those times and what he's perfecting in you. In fact, the scripture says it this way. The glory he has for you is far greater than this momentary affliction. It's in the storm that so much is produced in us that I become harder than my circumstances. And number three, prominence. Now, the chapter closes this way. Then the fame of David, verse 17, went out into all the land, and the Lord brought the fear of him, come on, upon all nations. The position, one of courage that faces the battle. The position, one of humility that seeks the Lord. The position, one who has a reverence who will obey what God has said. I spent a lot of time right there because the number one revival that I believe the Church of America needs is a revival of obedience. Just doing what God has already asked us to do. And you know what? He'll ask you to do what you can't do. He asks beyond your ability so that you might seek him and humble yourself, and when it's accomplished, he gets the glory. And when he asks you, your heart rate increases. How many know? How many know when God's speaking to you? You know when God's speaking to you because your heart gets ba-boom. It goes from ba-boom. Ba-boom, ba-boom, and then he's ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Come on, God's like, oh, you want me to do what? Tithe? Come on, God. You know, teach the Sunday school. Are you with me? Okay. Position. Perseverance. Keep on keeping on. I don't care what you're going through. Don't let go of the lifeline of the fellowship you have in this house. I saw so many people lose out, let an offense. I don't know if that happens. Do offenses happen in Idaho and Kemi? Okay. Let an offense, let an issue, let stuff that should be a bump in the road. Come on. Take them out of the game, and they're missing the victory God had for them, and they end up on the other end of life. Even I've saw it in ministry, folks. I've saw it. They end up on the other end of life, a shell of what they should have been, and I should be more full of the love of God. In fact, let me say it this way. Every battle of life in the Old Testament, when Israel went into battle, they came out of the battle with more than they went into. They always plundered the enemy. So what the enemy meant to take them down took them up. In the New Testament, every battle we have is supposed to give us more. Next time I see you, you should have more of the love of God than you have today. More of the joy of God than you have today. More of the peace of God. Oh, you don't understand life. Well, no. Let's forget about life. Let's understand Jesus. He came to bring me abundant life. He came to bring me a more life. He came to make me harder than my circumstances. I can persevere through this thing and get to the other side. And the final piece is prominence. And you say, well, what do you mean by prominence? Well, it's really the three P's of breakthrough here, okay? And the word prominence, let me just read it to you. I don't think I have it on the screen. But you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's something that sticks out or stands out. They feared David. Come on. Why? He will face you. The Philistines were coming at him and weren't even to him. And he did the same thing he did when he was a boy. He said, that uncircumcised Philistine and all the Israelite army in their gear was trembling behind the rock. And he said, give me a few stones. I'm going for him. And the scripture said he ran to the battle. He was the same as that 15, 16-year-old boy later in life as the king. He ran to the Philistines and engaged them. Come on. And that began to happen. He said, I'm taking this thing. He got a reputation. Did you know we have a reputation? Come on, how many know the church has a reputation? And everything I know about the church has just a great reputation. I mean, you guys love people. I mean, I heard you love people that aren't even right with God. Isn't that a great reputation to have? And we want people here. How many know I have a reputation? Come on, I have a reputation. It should be a reputation of victory. It should be a reputation of love. It should be a reputation to say, he'll take the devil on. I think God wants us to develop this issue of standing up and sticking out. Oh, you know, can you imagine down in hell when the demons are getting together, you know, and the devil's saying, okay, you five, you're assigned to Dwayne this week. And you can hear them because they've already heard about me. Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to say that. You know, are you with me? We don't want to go after him because he stands up. He sticks out. He has a reputation. I mean, see those guys over there? They weren't limping last week, but they had him last week. Do you understand that? And that doesn't just happen in a moment. But when we say, I'm in the right position, I am going to persevere, then eventually we start standing up and sticking out. And people say, oh, yeah, that guy? He's got the goods. That gal, she's got the goods. They got a reputation. Yeah, they love people. Come on. David, the enemy feared him, and the other nations feared him, and his own kingdom had a reverence for him because he became prominent. Now, so I'm not, please don't associate that with pride, because that's not what that's talking about at all. But if you continue to do what God has called you to do and walk this thing out, you will become prominent in the kingdom of God. You will become known in the people around you, who's someone who's not just inoculated with Jesus and religious, but somebody that's full of the love of God, somebody that's walking this thing out, somebody that has a reputation for forgiving people in their sins and helping them up and picking them up and moving them. Come on, somebody. Are you here? And it becomes this picture that, hey, I become a prominent person because I am a person who lives in breakthrough. Amen? So let me encourage you today, and I'll wind this down, and I'll hand it to the pastor. No matter where you're at, God wants to take you through, and God wants to take you up. It depends, and me, it depends on my position, my perseverance, and when I walk those two out, I become prominent. I begin to stand out in the kingdom of God and feared by the enemy. Amen? Amen. Would you welcome your pastor today?